Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
He's host of the podcast Behind the Velvet Rope. It's David Yontef.
Yay. Such a wonderful introduction. Oh my God.
It's downhill from here.
It's like 8:30 here in New York City. And I am just like, I better wake myself up. Let me tell you, I am one of those. I am a morning person. I'm one of those weird morning people.
I get it.
I just recently started cutting out caffeine after 2 p.m.
Wow. Has it made a huge difference?
Well, I was waking up at like 3 a.m., 4 a.m., no matter what. And that it did stop. It helped.
I was there pre-COVID and in COVID. There's a lot of things I do in COVID that I never.
Right. Well, time has lost I've no never, sense of meaning. Or
yeah, now it's like I'm having Chinese food at 9 a.m. and I don't care, and I want pizza at 10 a.m. I just don't care.
Oh yeah,
because right? what are these society's rules? We made them all up.
Kind of. Nothing matters anymore.
Yeah. Nothing matters. No, money, just a thing we agree upon.
Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to do, just do.
Just do.
Thank
it.
You.
Yeah, right?
Nike, you listening?
Yeah, whatever you want. That's my advice.
The new Nike slogan.
David, your podcast is about Bravo reality shows?
True. Well, it is true. It is
not a gotcha. Larger,
no, it's not. It's about pop culture in general, but it is with a very, it's like a 5-day-a-week interview show with a very heavy slant on Bravo. So literally you open up your, it's like Christmas morning for the listeners. That's what they tell me. You open up your thing and it's like, who is the guest today? It's mostly, you know, a lot of Real Housewives, anyone from Bravo, but we do other reality. And like, we just had Janice Dickinson on. So we do pop culture. Oh yeah. That was a good one.
Was there something that initially like was your first like entry into like loving reality TV?
Way back in the day, probably like The Hills, Laguna Beach, but I even love like The Real World, Survivor. Like I was there pretty much right from the beginning. I mean, I just loved reality TV. And like, I love, you know what it is? The Real Housewives started with The Real Housewives of Orange County, which was
right
green lit because of the OC and because of like Desperate Housewives. Mm-hmm. So I love Desperate Housewives. I love the OC. So I'm like, why wouldn't I watch the show? So
all your favorite flavors. Just,
you know, it's really weird. Like my audience comes for a lot of things, but I could have the worst show with a housewife and it will still do better than like an icon like Janice Dickinson. It's it makes
rude.
No sense.
Yeah,
and like the Janice Dickinson interview goes, because I get a lot of press because I'm interviewing all these people. It went all over the world because she said, Julie Andrews is a bitch. And she said, so she said all these things, and it's, but yet that is not as highly rated as like a housewife that's been off the air for like 9 years. So my audience is very heavy into the Bravo world, but I have a diverse group of guests, but it is, it's heavy Bravo. It is. And reality.
Well, to be fair, Janice Dickinson has been kind of off the air for 9 years or so.
She has. But even other people like Melissa Rivers was on, and just like, I mean, I know these aren't like, but I'm just, I don't know. There's other shows that I'm like, this person is like a blockbuster, and it's like, yeah. So we do like actresses and actors that have that like pop culture kitsch edge.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know, like we're never going to have a sports figure. We're never going to have like somebody political. And we're not just going to have like some serious actor. It needs to have like that slant of like,
no. So if Daniel Day-Lewis called, you'd say absolutely say no. Not.
Sorry. Well, I mean, I would say yes. But I would be like,
right.
I wouldn't be. No, I mean, I would say yes and air it, but I would be more excited if like Tori Spelling called. Okay.
Well, sure.
Oh, sure.
The author of storytelling.
Yes.
We have a whole group.
I feel like you could get her.
Yeah, I think, I mean, like, so I'm probably, she's not gettable. Yeah, she's not gettable.
She's not inaccessible to media.
Yeah.
Do you feel like Netflix is really like raising the bar in terms of reality shows, like Selling Sunset, a sensation now, selling the
classic.
Ugliest houses in cocktail dresses. What
Did
more
you
do you want?
It?
Of course.
It's literally, I had, so there's an example. I had them all on Jason Oppenheim. I had Mary, I had Maya. I had, who else? Amanda. It's, I'm obsessed with Selling Sunset, but Bling Empire also brilliant. Did you watch?
Yeah, I watched that too. And The House of Ho.
I agree. I think that Netflix wants to be in the reality game and they're not playing around. It's
right?
Netflix.
Yeah,
I just started watching this one on HBO Max called Lost Resort. It's like a bunch of people with like emotional problems go to like the rainforest to this like luxury retreat. And there's like shamans and like they try a different form of like, you know, hippy dippy healing every episode. Oh, but there's a great codependent mother daughter duo and everybody hates the mother because she makes every problem about herself. So obviously it's a must watch.
That sounds, I mean, listen, Selling Sunset and Bling Empire, I'm two for two. So I'm there for, and Selling Sunset seasons 4 and 5, they're greenlit, both of them.
They're just printing money over there.
All at once.
It's, I don't know. The show is so good. I also love a lot of real estate porn. Like, do you watch Million Dollar Listing LA and New York and all those? They're good.
I watch House Hunters.
See that
that's not
watch.
Real estate porn.
No,
that's
no.
The antithesis of pornography.
That's very digestible. Yeah.
But Selling Sunset is that's a good one. Yeah,
it's a good one. You're here kicking off our series on what some call the ultimate reality show, the Oscars. Mm-hmm. So we're doing a series of movies on best supporting actresses, movies that either been nominated or won. Do you have any affinity for the Oscars? Is that part of your pop culture casserole?
Well, I'm doing a show coming up. I'm bringing Melissa Rivers back because I want to talk like red carpet and stuff like that. So I am going to be doing, it's coming out, whatever the week before the Oscars is. I think like the third week in April, I'm doing a show with Melissa Rivers. You know, I think out of all of the award shows, I am more into like the Emmys. I'm more of a TV
reality
person.
TV, yeah.
But answer your question, now that Melissa's coming on, I was looking today because I'm like, I should prepare somewhat. I can tell you these movies, I have not heard of a single one.
Not one?
Not one.
I mean,
ventured
like
into
Francis
Nomadland?
Francis McDormand is nominated for, I don't even know what these movies are. I mean, we're not really going to talk about those. I don't know what they are.
So you don't have Mank Fever?
No.
Now, normally I just think because we weren't in the movie theater, it was all of this like straight to, I really just ignored it all and just was working on my podcast. Listen, 5 shows a week, man.
That's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot. But you know what it is?
I really appreciate you adding this to your plate.
I don't like saying, you know what it is? I get these ideas. It's like you get, like we just were saying, like Tori, but you get these ideas and you see something that happens in pop culture and you're like, I now want to speak to that person like right away. And this is how my show became 5 days. I mean, I think part of it was COVID too, that I had a lot of time on my hands, but now, I mean, here we are and I don't see that changing.
I get ideas and never do anything about them. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times I'm just so busy that I can't. And then it's like angst. And then it's like Blank Empire. I had visions of interviewing everybody from that. it just takes a minute. You know, you can't just say like, come on my show. It takes back and forth. I was able to secure Andrew Gray, the boyfriend of Kelly, the one that everyone says is crazy and has all those rage issues.
Oh, he's like the one who screamed at her when they're in Paris.
We did a special 2-part episode. I got a call from Netflix. I'm like, wow. I didn't fucking. Oh yeah, I get calls. I get calls all the time. I'm like, I didn't say this. So why the hell are you calling me? I didn't say all these things that the show was fake and all this other stuff.
Sure.
I mean,
oh, you're just a platform.
Right. If you're upset with me, you obviously listen to it. Like, what do you want me to do? And then it goes back. Can you edit it? And I'm like, let me explain how a podcast works. If I edit this out, like, yeah, everyone that downloads it today is not going to hear it, but like, it's already downloaded.
It's out there, yeah.
Yeah. They didn't understand that. And then I was like, and I don't really want to edit it. It's just whatever. But
the sanctity of people's misguided beliefs about how reality shows work must be preserved.
Right. And I'm just like, but it was one of two times. There's only one other time where somebody was talking to me and they were new to the business there was nobody on the line. I'm like, where the hell is your publicist? Why are you here without your publicist? This one's even worse. The freaking publicist set it up. So I don't know why you're letting your client speak to me without you on the, you know, black. That's how it works a lot of time. They're black, not all the time, but the publicist will be blacked out. I mean, they're on the Zoom, but they don't
really.
Right. And they'll pop up.
Not all the time. It really depends. It's like, you can't, but it happens at least 25% of the time, probably. So here, this is one of two times where this person was talking and I was actually saying like, oh shit, this person doesn't like, normally when someone comes on, a lot of people play me and I don't care, but I can tell. I'm like, oh, you want press. I get it. Like, you have been off the air.
A reality star?
Really?
Yeah, I know. Really. And mind you, Janice wasn't that. Janice just doesn't care what she says. And you know,
right,
I'm
that's
like,
part of her charm.
Let me ask you about Gigi and Bella, because I also know how to get press. I also know what to do. So I'm like, well, no, I mean, I've been at this
for a while now. Yeah, you know.
So as you said, I bow down to the house of Janice. You said she's been out. So right, okay, fine. So let's face it. You have to ask one question when Janice is there. What do you think of Kendall Jenner, Gigi Hadid? Yeah. And really, this whole interview could be 1 minute, because that is the headline. And sure enough, that went all over the world. And surprisingly, her calling Julie Andrews a bitch got a lot of pickup too, which that shocks me. Because I'm like, who cares about Julie Andrews? You know what it is? It was all overseas. Overseas, it was a whole thing.
Gotcha. Yeah. They love her in Europe. Yeah. She's their Mary Poppins.
But so Janice was just herself. But normally it's like someone that hasn't been on for a long time comes on, then they try to get pressed. Like, they're trying to say things. And I'm like, I don't believe
what
a word you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but this poor guy, yeah. I'm telling you, this poor guy, the more he talked, I was like, oh, this someone should shut him up. And I mean, it's not going to be
me. But it wasn't going to be you. No, of course not.
I had a moment of feeling bad for him.
Which episode is this that we should definitely check out?
It's called Andrew Gray from Bling Empire. Okay. It's
the rage
two parts.
Guy.
Just, it wasn't, yeah, and that was, and he explained away why he's like not rageful. And the more he explains it away, I'm like, huh, this isn't helping your case. Yeah. I think this is like increased, because like, you're talking in hyperboles and moving and shaking and just like, it was like, I don't know.
You know, sometimes it's easier just to admit, yeah, I made some mistakes, and then how do we move forward? As opposed to when you fight,
You're just making it worse.
You're just making it worse. John. Speaking of fighting and wrestling, today we're talking about the Academy Award nominated I, Tonya. John, what's the deal with I, Tonya?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with I, Tonya. It was directed by Craig Gillespie, written by Stephen Rogers, and it follows the life of figure skater Tonya Harding and her connection to the 1994 attack on her rival, Nancy Kerrigan. The film claims that it is based on contradictory and quote unquote true interviews with Harding and her ex-husband, Jeff Galluli, suggesting that they are perhaps unreliable narrators. The film stars Margot Robbie, Sebastian Stan, Julianne Nicholson, Caitlin Carver, Paul Walter Hauser, Bobby Cannavale, and Allison Janney, who won an Oscar for playing Harding's horrible mother, Lavanya Golden. Premiered on December 8th, 2017, made $53.9 million off a budget of $11 million. It received mostly positive reviews. Christy LaMire of RogerEbert.com described it as an irresistible soapy mix of jealousy, competition, and class warfare, fortified by powerful performances and unexpected emotional resonance. However, the film did receive some criticism for taking liberties with facts in order to make Harding more sympathetic. Christine Brennan, who covered the real story in 1994, wrote in USA Today that the movie certainly doesn't worry about letting facts get in the way of a good story or bother to tell you that the only person Tonya has to blame is herself. And in addition to Janney's win, Margot Robbie earned an Oscar nomination for Best Actress, and Tatiana S. Riegel was nominated for Best Film Editing. And that is the deal with I, Tonya.
And we should say Allison Janney was nominated against Mary J. Blige for Mudbound, Hong Chow for Downsizing, Holly Hunter, The Big Sick, and Laurie Metcalf for Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. But Allison Janney pulled it out. So David, we asked you to pick Best Supporting Actress movie. Why I, Tonya?
Well, first of all, you'd have to refresh my memory on the other choices. There was one or two or three others.
Everyone wanted Lady Bird. I was rooting for Laurie Metcalf.
No, but I mean, like picking it to like talk about it here.
Oh yeah.
I didn't, there was something else I was like, I am just, what do I do for a living? Like Tonya Harding would be, I would take her on my podcast tomorrow. I would take Nancy Kerrigan too.
Yeah.
But I'm obsessed. Tonya Harding's the type of person I'm obsessed with. I'm just obsessed.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, yeah.
What is it? Were you obsessed with her before this movie?
Yeah. I mean, okay, I wasn't obsessed with her back in the day when all this was happening,
right?
But then she became, you know, like a cult figure.
Yeah,
like
absolutely
someone that just, and yeah, and then like you just watched her doing interviews and you're like, you need media training, and she's just, yes, all over the place. And then she's on Dancing with the Stars, and just, she's just like, yeah.
How'd she do on Dancing with the Stars?
She got, I don't remember specifically, but she got farther than you might think. She got pretty far.
A lot of times athletes do well on that show because of like the physical training that like, it's like not too dissimilar to like practicing, right, or studying dance. So like there's some of those sort of like muscles or like approaches are like already, they're good at that, as opposed to someone who's just like, can me lines and I'll figure it out, you know?
They do. And I can't remember if she was on, I think it must've been after this movie. I would think this movie brought her up to profile. Yeah, I think that's what it was. I don't think it was before, but I think it was like right after. But what a great person, you know, that's a great idea, right? That's a great person to, yeah.
Definitely.
So you're a fan of the movie, it sounds like.
Yeah. you guys are not fans of the movie.
No, we're clarifying.
I mean, love the subject matter. I think it was great. I think Allison Janney did phenomenal. Was she the front runner, or everyone thought it was Laurie Metcalf, right?
I think it was like the two of them.
It was like one of those two.
It was like one of the closest races that year, I think.
Yeah, nobody was talking about Holly Hunter.
No.
In the Big Sick. Poor thing. So it sounds like you're a fan of it. That's great. John, what's your baggage with I, Tonya?
I mean, I saw it when it came out. I remember all of the sort of shenanigans as they were happening in real time.
Sure.
Of course. And then, I mean, I have sort of a connection. It's not really a connection. But in 2007, I was in an original figure skating musical that starred the real life Oksana Bayul, who that year at the Olympics won the gold medal.
What was this figure skating musical?
It was called Cold as Ice. And it was absolutely terrible, and I could talk about it for hours. I just played a sassy reporter, so I would just comment on this
on the ice
routines. The whole stage was an ice rink, but I was always off to the side because I was a news reporter, so I never actually had to skate.
How did me?
Just lucky.
So you have relationship to the subject matter.
Exactly. So I get it. I understand what it's like. Oh yeah.
How people was Oksana?
As a person, she was great. She's very sweet. She's very, I mean, like, she's a little nutty, as you might guess. But how about you, Mark? What is your history with I, Tonya?
I mean, I saw in the theaters. I saw there's a great 30 for 30. I'm not usually a sports documentary person, but there's one on the Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan scandal called The Price of Gold. And that's where I first saw, that was my first introduction to LaVonna. Because she's just sitting in the interview with a bird on her shoulder, never explained, but you're like, who is this woman? I need to know everything. So then I saw the movie. The movie's fun. I don't know. I hadn't seen it since I saw it in the theaters, but I do think like it's a romp. I mean, it is weird that it like there's parts of it like it's very dark, but it's played for laughs at the same time. Like it's weird that there's like really bad like abuse happening, but it's kind of done with a wink, and that tone is like odd, but it's still like a very fun, compelling movie. And how do you not root for Tonya the whole time?
Well, that didn't get like criticism in that sense.
I mean, it is interesting because it's because like as you were saying earlier, David, like you want someone to be like sit her down and be like, here's how you have to behave. Like, here's how you talk to the media. You can't tell judges to suck your dick. you know what I mean? Like, you have to sort of put on the nice face while you're around, even if you're back in your, you know, I want to say dressing room, but not the locker room. You're like throwing stuff around. You know what I mean? Like, she just needed someone. You the whole time watching, you're just like, I just wish she had like a smart friend who like helped her out.
It's so weird that like boxers don't have to do this. You know what I mean? Like other like athlete, like football players don't need to like work on like being kinder and sweeter, but we expect that in our lady figure skaters.
But I think some sports people do are interviewed. Like, when you're at a certain level, like you are coached on like how to talk to reporters and stuff like that.
I'm just saying, like, you're not allowed to be rough around the edges in figure skating.
True.
Whereas in other things, that's a thing they look at for Brian. The refrigerator Perry, heard of him?
I have heard of him, yes.
Well, David, right. As you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movies ever, and we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories, and at a certain point, you are going to come up with a category, and it will be
added to the wheel.
Does it make sense? No, but it will by the time we get there.
Okay.
So this is our don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. This is our current top five gayest movies ever. With an 86.92% in fifth place, Death Becomes Her. In fourth place, with 89.70%, The Apple. In third, with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. Second place, with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And our current gayest movie ever, with a 94.83%, Female Trouble.
Is that now just Oscar ones?
No, these are just all any kind of movies.
Can I write in my number one gayest movie ever?
What do you think that? What would you guess for that?
I think Xanadu.
Oh, no one's brought in Xanadu yet, but that's a good, that's a definitely good candidate. So how do you think I, Tonya's going to do right now, if you had to guess now?
Is it going to crack the top five and beat those? Are you asking me?
Yeah, or just like how well you think it'll do?
I think it's going to be up there. I do.
Okay.
I think it's going to be, I mean, figure skating, like... backstabbing before there were housewives. We had Nancy and Tonya.
True.
I mean, the reaction when it happened, like that, ow, my knee or whatever she said exactly.
Why? Hurt
around the world.
Well, let's figure out. So the first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we take the average of all three of our scores. So the first category, David, how would you rate I, Tonya on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters? Is there anyone actually gay in this movie? I don't think there is.
I was going to say, I'm trying to think.
I mean, if they had opened up the story to include any male figure skaters, you know, there would have been that.
any like shot backstage, anything.
Just like, I'm sure some of the judges, definitely some of the fans, there's got to be a lot in there. But as far as like actual main characters, it's real low.
People with names and faces.
Right.
Wow.
It's pretty low.
Like, you made me think, I'm like, am I missing someone now?
I don't think so. There's no one to miss.
Does that mean we give it a one?
It's up to you. It's zero to 100.
Zero to 100.
An actual gay characters. Well, I mean, this pains me, but if there are none.
Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about this. One weird part of this movie is Bobby Cannavale, who I'm never upset to see Bobby Cannavale, but he was just a talking head this entire movie.
They shot him in 2 hours.
Like, you're expecting him to like show up into the story at some point, but he never does. But is his character, Martin Maddox, gay?
I didn't think so. He seemed like aggro, hard copy. He didn't seem like...
He was very stylish. Like... He had a sort of metrosexuality about him, though.
Well, it was the 90s, before the fact. Sean.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. That's true.
I didn't think he was gay. I didn't think he was gay. Let me tell you, in real life, Rose Byrne ain't so nice. There you go.
Really?
Love her. Love her. I think she's just shy. She's standoffish. For whatever that's worth.
Okay. Where did that come from? Is she related to Bobby Cannavale?
Yeah, they're like married.
Oh, really? Oh, I had no idea where that was. Did you just want to get that off your chest?
I'm not that much ADD. They're like married. No, they're like married.
I see. And everybody loves her in Spy.
And she's Damages with Glenn Close. Oh my God.
Oh yeah.
If you never watch that, man.
No, but I'm watching The Good Fight, which I feel, you know, covers the same idea, probably.
Same idea.
When you're done with Good Fight, head over to Damages.
Yeah, exactly. No. Well, then I would say five.
A five.
Yeah. I don't want to give it lower because, like, there might be, you know,
listen to your heart.
Listen to your heart.
I'm going to go five. Okay. Typically in something like this, I'll go 10 because you just figure like 1 out of 10 they say are gay, and I feel because it's skating, I'm gonna go 20, but it's still very
20 low. based on nothing.
It's the world that it's in. There's definitely got to be some gay people there in the kiss and cry area around. We never find out about her coach. We never see anything about her off the ice, so who knows?
Diane?
Yeah, maybe Julia
She's
Nicholson.
Married in real life.
Okay. Well,
I'm gonna give this a 3. There's just nothing. Giving it a 9.33, which is 4 points lower than The Wedding Singer.
Okay.
All right. Next category. I think you're gonna make up some points here, though. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch I, Tonya and come away with a whole book of ideas? Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah.
There's someone's got to have reenacted the clubbing.
Yeah. Yes. I think they did reenact the clubbing on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen one night. I swear. I'm pretty sure they did. I think drag queens did. Like, I'm
there was a show called The Ice Queens. It was like a special thing that they did. It's 100%.
Oh.
Yeah. Skating and drag. And I mean, Denali, you know, this season of Drag Race. She's a big skating queen.
You could do Lavanna, I think, is a great bird on your 100%. Shoulder.
100%. Bird on your shoulder, definitely. Mm-hmm.
A bowl cut.
So you want my answer?
Yeah.
If you got one.
90.
90.
Yep. That's what I was going to say.
I just think a Tonya drag queen is like, that's got to be a thing somewhere.
Just even like, just you get any like sort of like figure skating outfit and then like frizzy blonde hair. You're like Tonya Harding.
Yep.
And then a whining brunette in a holding her knee in white.
Yep.
Yeah. Either. I'm happy. Just listen to my gut. I listen to my gut. I'm saying 90.
Yeah.
We all gave it. It's got an average of 90, which is 10 points lower than the apple, but 70 points higher than The Wedding Singer.
Okay.
Not bad. All right. Next category. I think this one is also going to do well for you. Gay icons. How would you rate I, Tonya and gay icons? Well, we got Tonya Harding. I would say is absolutely. Is she Cher? No, but she's not Cher.
That is one of the truest statements you've ever said, Mark. I think the sort of arc of Tonya is something that gay people root for. You know what I mean? There's something similar to Britney Spears about her.
Yeah. That's why I love her.
Free Tonya? Like, is that what you're saying, John?
Yeah, free Tonya.
Free
she's
Tonya.
Like,
release always... Tonya onto the ice, back onto the ice is what I'm saying.
And the gays root for the underdog. She's like an underdog.
Absolutely. But then also Nancy Kerrigan in the documentary, you find out she wears the dress she got clubbed in at like a competition a year later that she knew Tonya would be in as like a big, like, fuck you, I'm not intimidated. So in that way, good on you, Nancy.
Good for her, Nancy.
Good for her. Having some sass. Also just ice skaters in general. Ice skating, I think, is the gay icon.
I'm not sure if I agree with you on that part exactly, but okay.
You don't think gay people love ice skating?
I don't say it's like iconically, like if you're gay, you're going to love ice skating.
You just said if there's ice skating, there's going to be gay people there.
Yes.
But like the costumes, not all gay people are going.
Sure.
No, but I'm not saying it's 100 just for ice skating. Sure. I'm just saying Allison Janney herself, I think, is a gay use of Laura Branigan's Gloria.
There you go. Iconic.
That pushes it up there.
We're taking it back from Trump.
Yeah.
Gloria's a good one.
Gloria. There's also Susie and the Banshees on the soundtrack.
I like
Fleetwood
that.
Mac. Oksana Bayul, your precious Oksana.
That's true. The gays love her.
Did they love her on Cold as Ice?
I mean, she was great. She was incredible. She didn't have that much to do, but she was great.
So, David, what would you give I, Tonya and Gay Icons on a scale of 0 to 100? Is this a Mamma Mia? No.
I would say 49.
49.
I'm going to say, given all of those things, I think there's nothing like on its own is hugely iconic, but the totality of all the things we've listed will bring me to give it a 67.
67.
Ooh, high score.
We think Margot Robbie has potential to be a gay icon one day.
I think so. I think this is probably her most, Harley Quinn, I guess. This might be her most gay iconic role, but Harley Quinn is probably up there as well. But I mean, like a lot of the other things she's in, well, she's great, but like gays aren't like Wolf of Wall Street. Yes.
I do love Wolf of Wall Street.
I think it's great, but you're not going, yes.
But I don't do that for
yes. Wolf of Wall Street was a great movie. I'm going to stick to mine.
Stick to 40. I'm going to give it a 75, actually, giving it a 63.67, which is 7 points lower than the Ten Commandments, but about 9 points higher than The Wedding Singer. I got to stop referencing The Wedding Singer. All right, the next category, the male gaze. In this category, how horny is the camera for the male form?
There's not a lot. We do get one brief shot of Jeff Galluli and Tidy Whiteys. But it's
the problem with the Jeff Galluli, like you see his butt, whether he's having sex with Tonya, but it's in the midst of a sex and violence montage.
Right.
Where they're cutting back and forth between the honeymoon, period cycle. So that's pretty, it's tough.
Yeah, you can't guiltlessly enjoy that shot.
No. Unless you're into the guilt. I don't know, maybe that's your thing.
And I can't think if there was anything else, I don't think.
No, I mean, there's not a lot of eye candy overall in this movie.
Well, this movie really does like to like, it almost has like a freak show aspect of like this. You could also call this Hillbilly Elegy. You know what I mean?
It's sure.
Like every year Hollywood likes to make a movie where like we're tackling, lower class living, but they can't do it without like neck craning their neck, making it look like a spectacle still.
This was it.
Yeah.
This was it. This was Hillbilly. I did think he's greasy and gross, but the guy and stupid, but the guy who whacks Nancy and that like smashes the window with his forehead.
I even remember that.
I'm not opposed, is all I'm saying.
You love a goon. Huh. You really
I do. Love a good goon.
You love a goon.
I love a goon. So sue me. Yeah. So what do you want to give this for the male gaze? I mean, it's not a very sexy movie overall for anybody.
No.
11.
11.
I'll go 15. Actually, I'll go 22 for Bobby Cannavale.
Really?
I think he's sexy as fuck.
With that gelled hair? Bob. I'm going to give this 17 in the male gaze, giving it a 16.67, which is 53 points lower than The Man from U.N.C.L.E. All right, next category. Entrances with pizzazz. Are there any entrances with pizzazz? I do think Lavanna on the first ice rink, when she brings a very young Tonya to the ice rink to meet Diane, to like...
Oh, and promises to smoke quietly.
Yeah, there's like, she has a good entrance there. And also Jeff entering the ice rink to scream to Tonya, fuck you, Tonya. That's pretty pizzazzy.
But like, dark. What else?
It's not the most pizzazzy movie because they're so trying so hard to be like grounded and
But it's right. Something.
Which
it's
is surprising because they could have, they very easily could have like had like the pizzazz of like the entrance of a routine. Like her running on stage when she's like late with the shoelace. Mm. I don't know if I would call it pizzazz. So
those
much
are
drama.
A couple though.
Yeah.
33.
That is honestly what I was thinking as well. I will also
really?
33. Yeah.
Wow.
In sync. Wow. I'll give it a 30, giving it a 32. Oh,
okay. Contrarian right. Over here.
I'm just listening to
just
my
go gut. With your gut. Don't question it.
Thank you.
Right. Well, I learned that from you. So
just now?
Wow. Yeah. Earlier. Yeah. You really took the lesson and you absorbed it and you've
Yeah. Like I second guessed my initial five and you said, just go with it.
Just go with it. None of this matters. We're just having fun.
Right. Exactly.
So.
All right. Our next category, hell on heels. What kind of ladies are they not going to take any guff and like push you when you're blocking their way? I'm sure they do more than that. Well, Lavanna and Tanya, Diane during the training.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's not really a wallflower female in this entire movie.
I did find an interesting piece of trivia about Diane, which happened to her after this whole story.
Okay.
She won the Classic Wine Auctions, that's a company, Humanitarian Award, which is given to individuals who have demonstrated significant achievements in building the Oregon wine industry.
Huh.
So that's what Diane's been up to, doing charity work in regards to Oregon wine.
That's something.
She got Tanya Harding on her resume and then said, and I'm pivoting to wine now. Thank you.
May we all have a second act. That's exactly all you can afford. But hell on heels. I think there's a lot of like ladies who aren't, I mean, the entire movie essentially.
Yeah.
So it means just like what? Like just, I'm going to cause hell.
Yeah, I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm flicking it in your face. You know,
yeah, like I'm not going to take it from you.
Intimidated people would probably call them a bitch, but we love them.
The category was previously called Strident Women. So, you know.
94. Yes.
I'm going the full 100 on this one.
Wow.
Like you can't get anyone like harsh. Rewatching it this time, I forgot the scene where Allison Janney is trying to record her daughter admitting that she had something to do with it. And I was like, that's right. You bitch. Like what a horrible human being that woman is.
Lavanna.
That scene is true that she is unredeemable in my mind. Insane. So yeah, for me, this has got to be 100. I can't imagine anyone being worse because like that's a mother to her daughter. Okay. How about you, Mark?
I'll give it 100 too as well.
Wow.
100. Giving it a 98, which is the highest we've had in a long time. All right, next category, macabre. How macabre is I, Tanya? Well, plain child abuse for laughs. I thought was pretty macabre.
A lot of domestic abuse.
The whole concept of what happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
Pulling a gun on your wife and yourself, death threats.
I think just like having a bird that you'd never call out or like explain or justify, that's pretty macabre.
So pirates are macabre, John, is this what you're saying?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
I think little Tanya peeing on the ice is macabre. I also think there's something macabre about couples that smash cake in each other's face at the wedding reception. It just always turns me
off.
Bad
luck. Yeah.
Is that what they say?
It is bad luck, yeah. You're not supposed to do that.
Wow.
A bad omen.
And also the Olympics themselves are pretty macabre. They displace entire communities. They bring about like total wreckage to like they displace like the homeless and stuff. Yeah.
That's true.
Jesus, John. Read a book.
These are all good points. These are all good points.
But you don't actually leave I, Tanya thinking like, oh, that was so heavy. It's you know what I mean? It's like, oh, that was a blast. It was like watching like 2 hours of hard copy and eating, you know, Cracker Jacks at the same time.
Exactly.
89.
You sure about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that what your gut is telling you?
89.
I'm going to go 82.
82. I'll go 83. That's just what came into my head. Given an 84.67, it's point.
It's not bad.
Which
not
is bad. .34 of a point higher than the Ten Commandments, and that has actual dead children in it.
Yeah.
So not bad.
Mm-hmm. Not bad, right?
Well done, Lavanna. You know, if she had to get those free the slaves, it'd be done in 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Pharaoh?
Yul Brynner.
It's like a dark subject matter, you know?
Right.
This I, Tanya.
It's too much.
Yeah.
All right. Our next category, dramatic lighting. How dramatic is the lighting? It's not super dramatic, I wouldn't say.
No, especially considering there was like performance. Anytime there's like performance within a movie, there's such an opportunity to go heightened with the lighting, like with all the skating stuff. But I guess in figure skating, they tend not to do that either, usually. Like they'll sometimes have like a spotlight as someone is coming onto the rink. But in general, they keep the whole rink lit for the routine.
Have you ever been to like an ice You got either of you been to like an ice skating competition or?
I've
like, been to ice capades.
Yeah, like that stuff. Mm. Not like a competition.
Well, I mean, I don't want to bring it up again, but I wasn't Cold as Ice, the musical.
Wait, the Cold as Ice, the musical?
The very one. Mm-hmm. In its premiere, and I think thus far only performance. Yes.
So it's underground.
Yes, an underground ice skating rink.
There is those flashes during her like Fame triple axel when it goes into slow motion and like the flash bulbs are going off.
True. And then there's like when they're pulled over in the cop car side, you know, some of that.
Yeah. It's nothing terribly mind-blowing.
Yeah. 21.
21.
Yes.
I like how your answers feel like you're on a Ouija board where you're like
21. That one came at the last minute. I'm going to be honest.
Hey, better late than never.
That one could have gone in many ways.
Right. I'm going to go 26.
26. Yeah, I'll go 24. Who cares? Giving it a 23.67, 3 points lower than Waiting for Guffman. Mm-hmm. All right. Our next category, vibrato.
So in this category, in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean anytime they take a moment and give you extra, they sort of zhuzh it up. The moment doesn't need it, but they give it to you and you like it. I would say like all the direct address to the camera has a real sort of vibrato feel to it.
The documentary, it's all like real actors. You can tell like the actors like love that. Oh, I just got to play the character and like be in the moment and have a cigarette. What a treat.
Right. Or it means we don't have to do this clunky exposition scene because I can just talk to the audience and say, here's what you need to know.
Yeah. I think that opening crawl that says it's based on true and contradictory interviews is pretty vibrato. That's pretty extra.
That's pretty extra. The bird.
True. The bird.
That bird.
The opening. Okay.
I thought it was really funny when they did that in the training montage where it's just Tanya in the woods with her coach and the coach kept turning to the camera and go, she really did that. Where it's like, well, it's not that crazy what she's doing. Like, right. Yeah, she carried a huge bag of Purina dog chow. Yeah.
Flipping a log in the woods, John, you do that all the time?
I'm not trained to be in the Olympics, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone did that.
Well, not with that attitude.
Well, fair point.
Those are good points.
I did think playing Devil Woman over Tanya getting good. It's like crazy. A lot of like music drops were like super on the nose in this movie.
And I think the way like the credits in the beginning, you know, like just the statement.
Yeah.
39.
I think also even again, I'm going back to the Cannavale well, like just having him there and his sort of like coked up character felt very vibrato. I'm going to go 42.
Did you ever watch Hard Copy, either of you? Or Current Affair?
I feel like I remember that like the teaser, like the tag for Current Affair more than actually seeing
Current
it.
Affair had that like pyramid.
Yeah.
I feel like I must have watched that at some point or had it on in somewhere.
It seeped into our
it's somewhere.
Yeah, like I'm picturing the camera. So like yeah.
I'm gonna give it a 37 in vibrato, giving it a 39.33. All right, I think you could make a lot of points here. Footwork. How would you rate the footwork in this movie? I mean, it's pretty, it's mostly footwork.
It's mostly footwork.
This movie's mostly footwork, a triple axle.
Yeah. And a big plot point is like hurting someone's knee, which isn't a foot. I understand there are two different body parts, but still.
Can't have one without the other.
But the skating, I mean, you know, that's the real deal.
Yeah, without skating, this movie is gypsy.
That's what Gypsy needed, I feel. It's more ice skating.
Yeah, more figure skating.
I am going to give it a 99.
99.
This movie is all about the footwork. That's the whole basis of the movie.
Yeah, I'm going 100.
Wow.
I just don't believe in a perfect score for anything.
That's true. Nothing? Perfection is an illusion. You're right. That's true.
What about a newborn baby?
No.
They all look like Ed Asner. No, that's
definitely not.
What about Ed Asner?
He looks like a big baby. No, absolutely not.
Those are passes.
Certain episodes of The Golden Girls?
No. They could be close.
Could be close.
Not 100.
A rainbow?
No, because it goes away too fast.
Yeah.
What about you? You didn't give it a rating.
I'm going to give it a 97. I could have used more ice skating, actually. Because the way it's shot, you could tell they're just doing, like, mapping her face onto it. Like, there's so many shots where you could tell, like, that's not Margot Robbie. That's, like, someone wearing a CGI mask. And I feel like, I don't know, I wanted to see more. In some ways, I wanted to see more ice skating.
I get that.
I could have taken more ice skating.
You can always take more ice skating.
Yeah.
The Snyder Cut, 4 hours long.
4 hours.
Not one instant routine of ice skating.
Real Cyborg, one of his little things could have been ice skating.
Right. All right. Our next category. Spank bank deposits. Are there any images from iTanya that you'll file away to your spank bank? It's a pretty rough one for someone robbed a spank bank. I mean, Sebastian Stan is cute, but his character is so repellent.
That makes it tough. Yeah, and just having Bobby Cannavale, I mean, that's one thing, but there's no good
scenes. It's not
him
at his best.
You don't think?
He does a very good job, but it's not like, if no one had seen Bobby Cannavale before, I would be like, watch I, Tonya. That's what you've got to say.
This is not the best.
It's not the on-ramp.
You would say Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Exactly.
I'm going to give this one, I have to say, a three. Yes.
Someone's rated the spank bank coffers.
Three.
I'll give it a 14.
I mean, the way you're going on and on about Bobby Cannavale. I'll give it 11. Giving it a 9.33, which is 5 points lower than The Wedding Singer. No, Waiting for Guffman. I'm sorry. All right. Finally, this is the last of the canon categories. Don't worry, we have about 20 more to come. But David, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend I, Tonya to a gay person?
92.
Not as good as a rainbow, but no. It's up there.
92, yeah.
A 92. You think gay people should see this movie, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I think so.
I do. I think this is... Yeah, what gay person wouldn't like Tonya Harding?
Right?
Like, the more I talk, I'm going to talk myself into a higher score. But, you know, there's a lot of gays that may not like ice skating, and there's, you know, it's still like, you know, about women's, they might, but 92. I'm going to stick with that.
There's something for everybody.
It's a solid one.
Yeah.
We love a scandal, as your podcast can attest to, I'm sure.
Yeah. Oh, I love a scandal. I'd be out of business in the podcast if I didn't have a scandal.
You know how they're doing the Avengers of the Real Housewives, where they're putting them all in a house together?
Yes.
What is the point of that? What are they going to be fighting about? I think they need to be doing like a talent show towards the end. There has to be like a project they're working on or something. Or what are they going to do?
Maybe there'll be something. Like, we don't know for sure if there's not going to be something. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I don't know if it's just going to be a house. There might be some other premise to this, but they're mixing seasons. So I think that's where they feel, you know, like, you don't go there with Teresa, but you don't go there with Kenya Moore either, or Ramona. So what if those three get into something? I don't know who's going to come out alive for that. That's
I don't know.
That's the interesting part, I think.
There's no way that the producers have said, we'll just put them in a house and see what happens. They have definitely got plans, shenanigans and things.
Something's up.
You all have a paper route.
Yeah, like they might have to work together, or there may be a competition.
It's like a chore wheel they each have to spin.
I'm telling you, I think there's going to be something with money. Like, you could leave with money.
Oh, yeah.
Money. And I don't even, it can't even be for charity, because these people don't care about charity.
No.
It's like Ramona will be like, I'm just going to sleep in.
I'm a charity.
Yeah.
If it's for yourself and they can leave with like 500 grand, I think game on. Wow. Then game on.
Now
I'm just making this up, but that's a show. That's
well,
a show
what I think with that, it's also interesting because some of them will take the power move of like, I have money. I don't need to do this for money. Like some of them will take
yes, they will, but most of them do not have money.
No.
So they need the money. Yes.
Sure.
But they I see them money. In these lovely homes.
Oh yes. Lovely.
John, how likely are you to recommend I, Tonya to a gay person?
I'll say 86. I think it's 86. Really fun, but it's not like a, oh my God, run out and see it. But it is really fun and satisfying.
I mean, and there's, you got Allison Janney doing what Allison Janney does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 82. Giving it a 86.67. All right, now we are into the wheel categories.
So these are all categories that previous guests have bought in. We put them on this wheel, which is an app on my phone, and we're going to randomly spin it four times. Whatever category comes up, that's how we're going to judge it. And after those four, you will come up with a category, which will be added to the wheel, which, remember, we mentioned that earlier. Well, next year it pays off.
See, it pays off.
I'm glad I paid attention.
Do you own a piece of like your favorite, like Real Housewives branded, like a skinny, you know what I mean? Like, is there anything you've bought, like a skincare thing?
I have so much crap. I mean, I get sent a lot of crap too, but I've got so much stuff. I don't even know where to begin.
Too much.
I mean, do you want the Ramona Pinot Grigio? Do you want the skinny girl shit?
Eh.
What I don't have, did you watch Salt Lake?
I'm like halfway through.
Well, I had Meredith and Brooks on my show together.
Really?
And I called them out during the show. And I'm like, where the fuck is my, excuse my language, I have a horrible mouth. I'm like, where the fuck is my Brooks Marks tracksuit? I understand you had to send one to Andy Cohen before me, but I also have seen on Instagram you sent it to like 13,000 other people. Where's mine? I mean, I'll pay for it. Just get me one. Oh no, of course you're not gonna pay, blah, 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 blah. Listen, I know if you send me something, I'll promote it all day. Still not here. So calling it out.
And isn't it just like a black sweatshirt with like side piping?
Yes, but like the way it matches and just
oh, it matches black and black?
Well, no, it's like black, but then like the bottom matches the top. And yes, it has side piping, which says Brooks Marks.
There you go.
Cute. Listen, all I'm saying is if I was Brooks and I went on someone's podcast, that's one of like the leading Bravo podcasts, and they made a joke about not having one, I would send it the next day because I'm obviously going to, I said, I'll talk about it on air. I'll put it on my Instagram, like something.
Of course,
we have a real audience here, people. Like, this isn't like a joke. I don't just like make up that I have these, I don't know, never got it.
Wow.
But well, I have lots of other stuff.
I'm never going to buy a Brooks Marks tracksuit.
But if you send us one, we will take pictures and post them on.
Right?
Absolutely.
Like, don't worry.
It would be all funny taking a picture of you like donating it to Goodwill, and that's your promotion.
No, like I would really wear it if they sent it to me, you know?
Right?
All right. Well, our first category is lovers turned friends.
Lovers turned friends. Are there any lovers turned friends in this movie?
I mean, there's Tanya and Jeff, but they're not really friends.
No, I would say they're the opposite of friends.
Lovers like, turned friends.
I don't think it happens.
I don't think it happens.
No, it's like either it's, these people are all love or hate. There's not a lot in between.
Two. There's no examples.
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah, I'll go three.
Three. I'm going to go zero. There's nothing. Nothing. Damn, giving it a 1.67.
Wow. That really brought down the rating.
That's devastating. That's devastating.
Okay, here we go. Non-traditional murder weapon.
Non-traditional murder weapon.
I mean, there's the thing. I mean, it's not a murder weapon, but the sort of club that they use to take out.
But that is exactly what you would use to club somebody. It's not like they took a lamp and clubbed her.
That's true.
They used it for its purpose. She does murder on the ice via ice skating.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's anything.
Triple axle is a non-traditional.
A triple axe, non-traditional. No one had ever done it.
So,
true.
Does it have to be a murder?
We could say that Allison Janney was trying to murder her daughter's reputation with that recording.
Sure.
Stretching. We're stretching here, definitely.
We're stretching a lot, which you got to do when you're ice skating.
13.
13.
Yeah, that sounds right. I'll go 13 as well.
You know what? I'm also going to go 13.
Wow.
We need an average of 13.
Okay, here we go.
Have you gone to any of Countess Luann's cabaret shows?
900,000
times.
Seriously, wow. I've gone. I'm not exaggerating with these answers. I've gone like 1,000 times.
Wow. Have you really watched her development as an artist? Has she really grown?
She's doing okay.
Wow.
A ringing endorsement.
You know, I bet it's fun. You're having drinks with your friends. Who cares?
Right, exactly. It's a fun night out. And if you go once, you will probably have an amazing night out.
I see.
Okay.
And you'll enjoy it. And you'll enjoy seeing her. And it will be kitschy. And you'll get your picture. It'll be fine. I don't know if you need to go 9,000 times like I did.
Well, you're dedicated.
All right. Well, I think you got lucky with this one. Screaming to the heavens.
Screaming to the heavens.
Why?
There is the screaming to the heavens.
It's the iconic moment.
And then also when she's a little kid, I think she like screams in the woods like when her dad leaves, right? Or that's openly weeping.
Yeah.
But yeah, why? It's like, what more is there?
That's like the iconic.
It's so funny with that whole clip too, because like you're like, oh no, that's terrible. But the more she goes on, you're like, all right, relax. You know what I mean? Like you kind of lose sympathy.
You're okay.
But that is Screaming to the Heavens 99, because that's an iconic Scream to the Heavens.
It is.
Yep. I'm going 96.
If you were to make a list of like top 10 screams of the 20th century, you got to include Nancy Kerrigan.
Yeah.
Yeah. VH1 had a show, Top Screams of 1994. And it was number one. Definitely.
Scream 3 didn't make it. Rude. No. Yeah. I'll give this a 95. Give it an average of 97.
Okay.
Last category. And then it's your turn to come up with a category.
Okay. I think we got lucky on this one again. Aggressive haircuts.
Aggressive haircuts.
I mean, Allison Janney and Margot Robbie. I mean, come on.
Yeah, those are very aggressive. They're taking no prisoners.
But they're two of the main people.
Bobby Cannavale has an aggressive haircut. Yes, Cannavale.
Mm-hmm.
I always think you're saying Carnival, that HBO series. What do you say?
No, he was on Vinyl.
I see.
I thought this whole movie, every time Allison Janney, I thought she looked like Jim Parsons in this movie a lot.
Oh,
really?
Did you think that? I don't know. No. I just couldn't stop thinking that. Like if Jim Parsons had to do drag, he should do Allison Janney in I, Tonya. It would be so easy.
I did not think that.
Watch it again.
Well, John had that, you know, cold as ice training.
That's true, yeah.
Big Bang Theory.
Exactly.
Okay, so haircuts, though, they're the main two characters. 88.
88.
Yes.
I'm going to go 91 because I think Margot Robbie especially has a bunch of different ones.
Yeah. I'll give it a 90. There's also something aggressive about Diane's, like, perfect, like, mall coif that's, like, aggressively neat or something.
It was very, like, Lemon Tree.
I could see that.
Yeah. It's, like, aggressive, low-key aggressive. Like, I'm not trying to be aggressive, but I'm aggressive. Mm-hmm.
But I'm no nonsense.
I'm no nonsense. Mm-hmm. I'll have you flipping logs in the woods. All right, David, the time has come for you to add a category that we can use to judge I, Tonya, and then every other movie when it gets added to the wheel.
How about fashion? So bad, it's so good. You like that one? So bad, it's so good. Like Showgirls, so bad it's good. Mm,
what's bad Xanadu about anything in Showgirls?
So bad it's good. So it has to just be bad to be good.
This definitely had like a thrift store aesthetic that really worked, I thought.
Yeah.
You could almost smell the thrift store.
Yeah.
So many windbreakers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, and I would give it 98.
98, so close.
Yeah, I will go. Yeah. I'll flip it. I'll go 89.
89. It is all pretty bad. Also, like, Lavanna's fur coat is so bad, but now it's, like, iconic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'll give it a 94. Okay. Give it an average of 93.67 in fashion. So bad is good. All right. Now we are into the bonus categories.
So these categories, we're going to rate from 0 to 10, and they're just bonus. So if it doesn't score well in any one of these categories, it's fine. It's not going to negatively impact the score. So this is all just bonus categories.
All right. The first one, on a scale of 0 to 10, how would you rate I, Tonya in musical potential? Now, I should say I was in a musical based.
That's true. You were.
The Life of Tonya Harding. I was one also a commentator, there similar you to you, John. Yes. I didn't have to dance. I didn't have to sing. I just got to be up there and call Tonya Harding a living potato, is what I remember from doing that. So there was a musical based on it that did very well.
At the trail.
Yes.
Former guest Amy Hite played Lavanna. And
that's true.
Our friend Jesse Sparza-Rudda.
Tony Rodriguez played Jeff Galuli.
Tony Rodriguez. So it's happened. It's got all the, it's got the epic scope.
It has the tragedy, the scope,
the classism.
Okay, I have an answer.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I don't want to cut you off, but I come to my 9.
A 9.
Yeah, I will give it a 9 as well, because it felt very, as I said earlier, it's very Gypsy on Ice. I think the only thing dinging it is that it is hard. As someone who has done a musical where the stage was turned into an ice rink.
Well, this is the first I've heard of this, John.
It's a very difficult thing to do. So, but it, I mean, it's all there. The emotions are there. The characters are there. It's a 9.
They could do Starlight Express, but they can't figure out ice skating on stage.
It's tough. The skaters in the show that I did, even though it was a very large stage, they said they felt like they were skating in their kitchen. Like, based on like the amount of space they're used to having. It's even a...
And they had Xanadu on Broadway, but I mean, that true. Was... that was.
You could do that with roller skates. Yeah.
Well, you could also do... It's also musical potential. It's not necessarily Broadway. Like, you could... There's no reason you can't do this a musical in an ice rink.
True.
Bring the musical to the ice rink.
That's true. You could do
that.
Get Cameron McIntosh on the phone.
Well, like,
John.
We never said... We never said Broadway, did we?
Right. That's true. The only thing... I went and saw Ice Capades when I was, like, 5, and the only thing I remember...
I feel like I've seen it so many times.
I don't... Couldn't tell you what the story was. The only thing I remember is, like, there's one woman with, like, big boobs, and then at one point, a balloon comes out of it, floats up to the rafters, and then she says, oops, I lost my boobie! And I've had that in my head for 30 years.
That's a very specific memory.
It is. I don't know why. I'm giving this a 10 in musical potential. Giving it a 9.33.
That's a high score.
That's very high.
The highest you can get in this.
Well, 10 would be the highest you can get in that. All right, next category. Queer menace. Are there any queer menaces in this? I think I'm... Unfortunately, not really.
No, I don't
what
think
what about
so.
The judges being very like, we need you to represent something. We need like that sort of nastiness.
They
there's
didn't
something
come off
about
as queer to me, though.
There's something that feels very pageanty, which always has like a queer energy to me.
They felt more Christian to me. Like, they didn't feel like any queerness at all. They felt, if anything, no, stick to the rules, stick to how it's done. Like, it's the opposite of the subversion of, there's nothing subversive about them. If anything, Tanya's the more queer one. You know, in reality, mm-hmm. She skated to the theme from Jurassic Park.
Right.
But they wouldn't want her to do that because it's an awesome theme. This is a tough one for Itanya.
Yeah. But luckily it's a bonus. So if it gets a 0, it doesn't negatively impact the score.
I say 1.
A 1.
I'll give it a 1 because I think part of the judges being nasty was like your costumes aren't fabulous enough. So for that, I'm going 1.
Sure. It's like bitchy menace.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll also give it a 1. Giving it a 1, which is 1 point higher than The Wedding Singer. Nothing queer about that. All right, next category. Character actress makes a big swing.
I mean, well, there's Allison Janney.
Swing, though? Again, I've got to say.
Well, there's a swing for real.
There's Absolutely. A literal swing. There's,
yeah.
There's a literal yeah. swing, that character act. But I just feel like this is exactly what you would expect Allison Janney to do. You know what I mean? It's not like outside her wheelhouse at all.
But it's still like her, but she's good at making big swings. So I think she makes one. And so I think. I think it's weird that you keep harping on this and wanting to penalize people for being like, but they're always good. So should we?
But I'm just saying this like type of character is exactly like her wheel. I mean, it's not like her. It's totally within her comfort zone. Like, this part was written for her. So I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying she's bad in it. She's amazing. No. You know what I mean? But I'm just saying this is for a big swing. I think like that's doing something extra, going outside of your comfort zone.
Something that surprised you.
You
want to be surprised.
Yeah. I want to be. This is not
so
the,
that's
surprise,
how you
the most
think
surprised.
Of
that's
okay.
how I think about it. I'm gotcha. Not right or wrong. This is just how I just had to have somewhere to go with this character. Like, you know, it wasn't a character actress, but like, you know, like a Charlize and Monster, that feels like a bigger, whoa, you know.
Well, okay. Now
I think, though, this was
like
also
that,
big for Margot Robbie, though.
Yeah.
I think this was a new.
Is she a character actress or leading lady?
I don't know. Would you consider Tanya Harding a character actress or a leading lady?
I would consider Margot Robbie a leading lady. I don't consider her a character actress.
So you're penalizing
her. She's the leads
and
everything. It's not penalizing. It's the fact.
It wasn't like Monster, so that's true.
Which you could also call Hillbilly Elegy.
True.
I would say 5.
A 5.
Yeah, because I'm conflicted on this one.
I'm going to go 6.
I'm also going to go 5. giving it a 5.33. Pretty good. All right, next category. Witches. How witchy is I, Tanya? Well, any woman who has a bird on her shoulder.
Yeah, it's pretty, a lot of Maleficent energy going on.
Like
there.
Her familiar. Mm-hmm. What secrets does it know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Spy. There should be more Halloween themed ice skating. I'd watch it more.
Seems like a natural fit.
But the bird. I would say 7.
7.
I'm going to go 3.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Not moved by the bird.
It's one of our biggest disagreements.
I am by the bird, but it's like it. It's like that's kind of where it starts and ends.
Bird not doing it for you, John? The character, Lavanna is definitely a form of a witch in some way. Yeah. Just the fact she's wearing a fur pelt.
Things.
You know, it feels like I wouldn't be surprised if she lived in a tree.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's where I was going with that.
Right? I'll give it a 6. Giving it a 5.33.
All right. 5.33, okay.
This next category might be tough. Gay actors playing gay roles. Well, there's no gay roles
there's
in this.
There's no gay roles that we could figure out. And as far as we know, none of these actors are gay.
It's not going to score very well.
No.
No, sadly.
I'm ready with my answer. I'm going to give it a 1. I'm going to give it a 1. I'm not, I don't do zeros and I don't do so, or tens. I
you are
the 1.
A moderate. It sounds
yeah,
like.
I just give it the 1 point and let's just be done with it, you know?
Put a pin in it, move on with our lives.
Yeah.
I'm unfortunately going to go 0 for this one.
0.
I knew it.
John. Jesus, John. It. We have a guest.
It's a bonus. It's just a bonus. It's fine.
I'm also going to give it a 0. I'm giving it a 0.33. All right. But here's, I think you're going to make up a lot of bonus points here.
Tell us.
Themes of mothers. Well, I mean, this is up there with Mommy Dearest practically.
Very much so. Yeah.
A true nightmare of a mother.
I was going to go back on what I just, 10.
Yeah, a 10. So perfection
yes, exactly.
can be achieved.
I mean, it's the whole movie. It's the whole basis of this existence of this movie.
Yeah, I'm going to go 10 as well. I think it's just
the fact that like Lavanna goes on her
that one shocks
first
me.
Date.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest. That one shocked me. The fact that I gave it a 10.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm glad that you're open to it, though.
That's true.
You got me at that one.
We got me.
Uh huh.
You think that you know one, yourself, and then a category yeah. comes up, and you're like, wait a minute, everything's different.
I'm well, like, we always hope our guests leave forever changed on a fundamental level.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, I know 10, how it's the whole movie is about mothers and daughters. And
I, Tanya, more like, I, Mama.
There you
they
go.
Could have called it that.
There you go.
They could have changed the name.
They could have. Mm-hmm. Where's her side of the story? That's what I want to see.
Well,
these rotten kids.
There you go.
All right.
You never Thanks. Know.
You never know. She better be writing a book or a one woman show, Lavanna. I will buy, watch either. Maybe she can guest on
Lavanna.
Luann's cabaret show. All right. Our next category, pearl clutching.
Pearl clutching.
How scandalized were people? I think people were scandalized by the skating community was scandalized in regards to Tanya.
Definitely. Her like flipping them off, telling them to suck my dick. Like there was definitely some pearl clutching going on.
Yeah, I mean, she caused some headway, Tanya.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just the whole like reaction to the assault had some pearl clutching.
What do you mean
to say? Like the America reacting to like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is terrible.
Oh, right.
We clubbed Nancy Kerrigan, the woman who sells Campbell's soup. Is nothing sacred?
So is that what pearl clutching is? It's like if it's something
like someone whenever someone's like scandalized. Like, you know,
oh my
like,
goodness!
Yeah, clutching your pearl necklace.
Okay, 9.
A 9.
I'm gonna go 5.
5.
Oh, wow!
Wow, John.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm gonna give it a 6. Giving it a 6.67.
Okay. Wow. You really put me in my place, Mark. Okay.
Huh.
All right, our next category, quips. How quippy is I, Tanya? Lick my ass, Diane. She could do a fucking triple. If that's not a quip, I don't know what is.
There's also, you skated like a graceless bull dyke. That was another fun
I
one.
I wrote that one down too. Pretty much everything Lavanna says is a sassy comeback.
Yeah.
And then suck my dick to the judging panel. It's not the most inventive quip, but you know,
Oscar eight. Wilde's not jealous about that one.
An eight.
Yeah, I gotta do an eight.
I'm gonna go five.
Five. I'll go six, just because they're pretty good. Giving it a 6.33, which is the highest we've had in the last six movies. Not bad. Beating Waiting for Guffman, six. All right, finally.
It's also a great movie.
Also very good. We are into the iconic categories.
So now we're back to scoring things 0 to 100, and these are just broader, more umbrella categories.
0 to 100, okay.
All right, so this first one, how would you rate I, Tonya on a scale of 0 to 100 in homoeroticism? Is there anything homoerotic in this movie? Maybe Jeff and his like buddy, the dumb oaf, but not really.
No,
they're
not
just
really.
Like
a two.
Yeah, I'll go two as well. Why not?
You just gotta scream it out when it comes to you. You gotta get it out. You gotta
no room
get
for
it
debate.
Out.
No time.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's really, I'll give it a three. Giving it a 2.33, which is now the lowest we've had in, lower even than The Wedding Singer. All right, but this next category you might do very well here. Over the top wardrobe. It's pretty,
I mean, I think it's kind of on the money. Like it doesn't, like even the skating stuff feels appropriate for skating costumes.
Yeah. There's nothing crazy over it's all like appropriate. It feels like, yeah, that is what they would probably be wearing. So I don't know if like they're really like taking it and like elevating it, but it is, you could get some, we did like rate it pretty high in Drag Queen Inspiration.
But I feel like that was more for like the energy of it than for the look of it. You know what I mean?
I feel like Inspiration is coming. It's coming.
32. Yeah.
I will go 27.
27. I'll go 29, giving it a 29.33. Finally, the last in the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is I, Tonya?
98.
Camp, what would you give Xanadu in camp factor?
99.9.
Oh, not quite there.
I think like the concept of Tonya is campy to me.
Just her being is,
yeah.
Aren't we glad though she settled down and like found a nice guy to be married to, and like she's got a kid and she seems to be doing well now.
Yeah,
I wish her well.
I have to give it that high. That she just, her name alone invokes camp.
I mean, a scandal within
more
the world
so than
of
a
ice
lot
skating.
Of others. Yeah,
yes. Yeah.
That's why I was excited to talk about this movie. It's she's camp to me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think it is very campy. But I think the movie itself like doesn't go to Mommy Dearest levels. No, so I'll give it an 88.
Okay. 88. I got a quick list of campy things I notice. Tonya being forced to wear her skate costume to school is like a more abusive coat of many colors. Using an ice skate to put out a cigarette. Ice skating is ZZ Top, which more people should do. Casually throwing a knife at your daughter. Confronting an ice skating judging panel. Paying someone to heckle your daughter at her ice skating competition. Shooting beers with Nancy Kerrigan. Eating chips in the back of a car with your shirt off. This movie never met an on-the-nose needle drop it didn't like. Lavanna complaining that her storyline is disappearing. Training montages. Dumb sidekicks. Breaking a glass door with your head while holding a baton. Media frenzies. Skating exhibitions at the mall. Putting a velvet rope on your front lawn for the paparazzi to stand behind. Nancy Kerrigan not appreciating her silver medal. And finally, eating a microwave dinner while David Letterman makes a mockery of your life. So there I'll give this 75. Giving it an average
after
of
all of that. Okay.
After all of that. It's half the length of the Ten Commandments one. It's also the movie's half the length. Giving it an 87. All right, finally, this is the last two categories. We're into the crown jewels.
So these categories, we don't rate. We all either agree it gets the bonus or it doesn't. So there's no scoring. Okay.
Right, first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does I, Tonya, have a positive portrayal of homosexuality? Does I, Tonya, have a portrayal of homosexuality?
Yeah.
No.
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 I don't think we can give it the bonus.
We can't.
I don't think so either.
Do better,
I
Craig
hate to
Gillespie.
Say that, but yeah. You gotta be honest.
You gotta be honest. People would know. Yeah. People would be, we'd get it.
Otherwise,
Flames?
This really doesn't
they
count.
Say?
Yes.
Bravo fans, they gotta be the most grounded and rational people that you do.
Oh. You should see the comments on Instagram. They're just, I don't even know where to begin.
Happy, well-balanced, have the priorities straight.
Something has gone wrong in the development.
Speaking of just going wrong in the development.
Nasty people. Go on.
Negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
All right, that's it, David. We're done.
David,
we've gone through everything.
So how are you feeling now about where it's going to land, its ranking?
I don't know. We had some high scores, but lots of low ones, man.
It's tough.
We had a lot of low. Yeah, we had a lot of low stuff, man. I don't think this is going to make it too high.
You don't think it's going to crack the top 10?
No. But we had a lot of 90s and stuff.
We did.
Well, I'll tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,472.45 points, iTanya has scored 1,538.11, giving it a percentage of 62.21, making it the 40th gayest movie ever. Not as gay as 9 to 5, but gayer than Adam's Family Values.
9 to 5, that was a good one.
That's slightly gayer than 9 to 5 is 0.42.
I'm sticking by Xanadu as the gayest movie. I mean,
right,
like,
have
if
to
you're
have
not
you back to talk
if
about
you're not going to include porn in this.
We do. The first 20 are all porn.
And I mean, I guess like you could include like Call Me by Your Name and all that stuff.
But like porn, does porn camp? Does porn have over the top? Visually, is it interesting to look?
No,
you know what I mean?
Not like,
is it
macabre?
No.
Xanadu.
Some of it
I'm telling you. I think Xanadu is one of the gayest movies ever. I think it's.
Does it have gay people in it? Gay characters?
Well, all those roller skaters, some of them have to be gay.
Gene Kelly, he's got to be. Yeah.
Do they have over the top outfits? Yes. So bad it's good. Yes. Music. Mm-hmm. Yes. Footwork. Yes.
It's all there. Olivia Newton-John, gay icon.
Star
right?
power. Yeah, gay icon. I mean, like, I'm telling you.
Isn't like Xanadu. Billboards come to life? And it's like, isn't the guy so, like painting billboards? It's been years since I've seen it.
Well, it's up there. Tell me. Trust me about it.
We'll have to have you back. All right.
Burlesque.
Talk about
what about burlesque?
No one's brought it in. What do you want from me?
I'm just telling you. I'm giving you some ideas here.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
I mean, Cher, come on now.
Well, she's represented by Mermaids, which is a 61.71%. So iTanya is gayer than Mermaids. Is that our only Cher? Maybe, right?
You never did Mask.
We haven't done Mask yet. It's the podcast Mask. Isn't over. It's okay.
Yeah, we just started. It's only been 2 years.
That's David, it, David. Thank you so much.
To go. Thank you. I mean, I'll come back anytime to discuss all these movies. Just because I don't know any of the current movies that are at the Oscars doesn't mean I don't know all these other movies that have existed prior to 2020.
I believe you.
There are movies before 2020.
Yeah,
that's totally true.
I used to be good with movies back in the day.
It's hard to keep up. Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time? I have a guess.
Well, yes. So everyone can listen. No, if you've enjoyed me here today because it's my podcast. I am different on the podcast, though. I have to say, it's not about, I don't really talk that much here either, but it's not about me. Like,
that's not my fault.
Well, I mean, I know I talked a lot, but my interviews, it's all about the guests. I ask the questions and I will do a dance, and at the end of the dance you'll be backed into a corner and I will not let you out until you answer all.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a whole dance we do. It's
like we
start out nice and friendly and we start out having some fun and it's fun, and then I just the middle part may not be the guest's favorite part of the interview. And then when daddy gets what he wants, you know, the last 10 minutes, let's just
then you pet them.
Yeah. Then I'm like, whatever you want. So if people like Bravo and reality TV and pop culture and Janice Dickinson and all those wonderful people, Behind the Velvet Rope, wherever podcasts are found. And you can follow me on Instagram at Behind Velvet Rope. There's no the, it's too long. Just Behind
Who
Velvet Rope
on
Instagram. Yeah, we're on Twitter. Yes, I'm on Clubhouse, but let's just stick to what's important, Instagram. Let's start there, and it links to everything behind Velvet Rope. And listen to the podcast. It really is fun. If you like all this stuff, you might like all these housewives you've quoted. We have interviews with all of them.
I love that crap.
Tune in. You know, we'll have people from the new show, the mashup, whenever that comes out next year. I
can't wait for this, man. I've been waiting for, I've had talked to friends about it for like the fat last 5 years. Like, why are they all like on a bus?
It's, you know what I mean? Think, like, why aren't they doing road rules with all of them? Mixing the seasons is the mixing. It's, listen, I don't think they have a choice now. I think they're like, what can we do during COVID for new content? And they're like, wait, isolate people and put them in a house. Well, that qualifies. So
I mean, that's how reality started anyways with the real world. You know, they're all thrown in a house.
That's true.
It's been fine for a year, but I don't know how any new shows are going to be made in the reality genre. I mean, Housewives was filmed during COVID, but none of them are having a stellar season.
And I don't want to see people with masks when I'm watching TV. It's the worst.
Absolutely a not. Couple of the stuff. It's just like, it's not what it used to be. COVID is not conducive for Real Housewives.
It's changed things.
Yeah, it's certainly. It's really changed reality TV. Okay. So yeah. Like, I'm not
nothing
happy.
Else. Just that.
Right. Like, damn you. My housewives are wearing masks. I'm pissed.
We need to do something about this.
But everyone should listen and follow me on Instagram and keep in touch. And let me know when this is airing, because I'll. If you
we will.
Me,
definitely.
You got to follow me so I can, you know, whatever. I'll follow you.
We will.
Of course. Definitely.
Amazing.
And thank you so much. You're so
it
great.
Was fun.
Hold on Delight. One second. But I've just got to say one thing. And it's we'll be right back. We're back. John, quick question. Was this the first movie we've done that is based on true events? Besides Hellbound, Hellraiser 2.
And the Ten Commandments?
Well, Titanic.
Titanic. We've had a couple, I think.
300-ish?
Maybe.
Kind of, sort of.
That's an ish, sure.
I think that might...
Cruising, definitely.
Cruising.
Julie and Julia.
True, there you go.
Rocky Horror, definitely based on a true story.
Yeah. Topsy-turvy.
Topsy-turvy.
That's based on a true story. Yeah, there you go. All right. For some reason, I guess maybe biopic.
Hoosiers.
Hoosiers. Who could forget?
Who could forget?
I could.
Hoosiers could forget.
I still think about their little satin shorts, though.
Okay.
Like my one takeaway from Hoosiers is their little satin. What do you remember? When I say Hoosiers, what's the first thing you think of?
I think playing basketball. I think
it's like just the general concept.
The high
of
socks, the like the socks that go up to your knees,
and it is that's what Oscars are all about. And that's we know you love the Oscars, right?
I love the Oscars. Very excited.
They're kicking people out of Union Station to film the ceremony.
Oh, how dare
they're
they?
Filming part of it at Union Station. Union Station is a working train set. Like millions of people go through it every day, and you're interrupting their commute for the stupid Oscars. Rude.
Well, they interrupt commutes all the time for lesser things.
What's lesser than the Oscars, if we're being honest?
I don't know. Shooting some movie.
We're gonna ask if I've seen all the Best Picture nominees.
Yes, have you?
I've seen all of them except The Father, which is not streaming anywhere.
Oh, okay. I got a screener of that.
Okay.
If you want to borrow it.
Did you watch it?
I did.
Have you seen all of them?
I have seen all the Best Picture nominees. There's like five more movies that I have to see to have all like the major categories like covered.
Yeah. That is the annoying thing about like Hillbilly Elegy getting nominated. Cause now people are like, well now, or like Mank, you're like, well now I got to watch it. Like, no, you don't. Like it's a waste of time. You don't need, just because it's nominated for an Oscar shouldn't compel you to watch. There's plenty of other actually good movies that came out last year that weren't nominated.
Sure. But if you want to sort of be able to have the debate and feel like, oh, I know all these movies, then it helps. Like it always feels weird. Not weird, but like if you're like talking with someone or thinking what movie you think should win or what performance or what have you should win, it's helpful to be like, I have seen them all. And so I have an opinion on all of them, as opposed to, I don't know about that one. I don't know about this one.
God forbid you finish the year without an opinion on Mank.
That's exactly what I was saying. Yep.
I need to have an opinion on Mank. Otherwise,
what's
I'll
your
be
take?
Adrift at the water cooler. I didn't see Mank.
When have you been? When's the last time you were at a water cooler?
This is your example, John.
I did not bring up Mank. You did.
You said people need to see everything. So that's why.
I don't say they need to. I said it is helpful if you're talking about it to be like, I've seen all of these things and here's what I think, as opposed to, well, I haven't seen this or this, but here's what I would give it to.
I feel that's why the Oscars are bad. They're stupid.
Because they make people watch movies. You're right. It's a horrible thing.
They make people watch bad, lesser movies because they think they you feel the need to watch.
People are choosing
to be part of the conversation.
Okay, you're just beat a pill.
Never,
never. Speaking of pills,
well,
that's
rude,
bad.
John.
That's rude. I don't like that.
Pills we'd like to swallow.
Speaking of dolls. Speaking of fun pills, we got an email from Jar Jar R. Martin. The titled theme idea, and they say we lost the internet for a few days and resorted to Blu-rays and inadvertently watched a bunch of Wachowski films. Would love to have a theme month on them on Patreon. Jupiter Ascending is camp AF, and I think Bound or Cloud Atlas could turn out mega gay. Cloud Atlas has the Korean edge. The Matrix is still incredible, but 2 and 3 are truly steaming piles of trash. Love you both. Thanks for the endless entertainment, and goodbye.
I mean, they didn't even mention Speed Racer.
Speed Racer, that's another good one.
Pure candy colored.
Yeah.
Have you seen Jupiter Ascending?
I did see Jupiter Ascending.
I love it. It's so bad. It's a different movie every 5 minutes.
Yeah. We might have seen that one together.
I wouldn't doubt it.
That's entirely possible. Well, that maybe that'll come up.
We love those filmmakers. Yeah. And people are, there's been so many like essays and articles written about how like The Matrix is like coded as a trans allegory. I did rewatch The Matrix a few months ago, and it holds up.
This was just the first one or all three?
Just the first one.
Yeah.
Don't know if I saw all of Cloud Atlas, but I read the book, and I like the book.
Okay. Well, there you go. Something to consider. We'll put it on the list. Yes, if you guys have any other theme ideas or any stuff you want to tell us, you can email us at twooldqueens, twooldqueens@gmail.com.
You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, T-W-O Old Queens, or follow me at Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie rankings.
Yes, we also have merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, we got a lot of fun stuff you could buy there. And a percentage of all of our proceeds go to help the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out. And finally, another way to support this podcast is we have a Patreon. Go to Patreon and look up Two Old Queens, The Retirement Plan, where we do a lot of themed stuff and more of us just talking about mostly movies, but not always.
That's true.
Right now we're going through the films of Dolly Parton. So
that's right.
Come check that out.
Check it out. Live your life. Wear a mask. Be safe. You still got to wear a mask. We're still
gonna
do
it. Still happening, but there's a light of a clear blue morning that we can see at least.
Oh,
thank you.
Eagles were born to fly. All right, we'll see you next time. We don't know what we're doing, but we'll see you next time.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Connie Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Bye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.